Now, remember, whenever we initially started this series, the series was initially going to be just about, you know, we were going to talk about faith, then we were going to move into grace, and then we were going to move on to some other subjects. But how many of you know sometimes the Lord has a better plan? So we've never moved out of the grace aspect of this. And I really do believe, honestly, that the Lord just wanted us to stay here and just really kind of drive these points home about grace. Now, over the last couple weeks, we've been talking about it. How many of you know there are two ways to be justified or right in the eyes of God? One is by the law. Everybody say the law. The Ten Commandments, you know, and actually there are how many? There are over 600 actual literal laws in the Old Testament, okay? Well, specifically under the law of Moses. Everything from, you know, how many of you know you can't wear a garment that's made of two different types of material? If you do, you're breaking the law. To what day you go to church? That was the law, right? Right? How many of you know that even the way you went to the restroom had laws? Yeah. The way you did everything had laws. And people tried to keep all the laws to make them right in the eyes of God. That's what they tried to do, right? Okay, are we reviewing still? We're reviewing. Y'all with me? Are we there? All right, I'm just checking. All right, so we've been talking about that. So there are two ways to be right in the eyes of God. There's the keeping of the law, the Ten Commandments and all those things, or by grace and faith in Christ. That's the bottom line. There are only two ways to be right in the eyes of God. So some of what I've got here this morning, like I've done with every message on this grace stuff, I backed up a little bit. So if you were here last week, it's a little bit of review. If you weren't here last week, where were you? Man, we do church every week. It's awesome. You're missing the party. But anyway, here we go. So to kind of recap, review, and get everybody on the same speed, let's talk about what grace is not. Grace is not a covering for rebellion or willful disobedience to God. How many of you know that today? That you can't say, well, Pastor Charlie, we're under grace, therefore we can live crazy. I mean, no, that's not true. Matter of fact, when you properly understand grace, here's the truth. When you properly understand grace, you realize you've been set free from your sin. Jesus took your sin on a cross 2,000 years ago. Therefore, since he took it and defeated it, it can be defeated in your life. Right? All right, so praise God. So now we also established that grace is not God going light on sin. How many of you know 2,000 years ago Jesus died because you and I had sin? How many of you know Jesus died for all your sin, past, present, and future? Jesus, 2,000 years ago, died for every person that would ever live. All their sins went on him. How many of you know that's some good news right there? Some very good news. All right. So, and we talked about grace is not an excuse for bad behavior. Now, check this out. By definition, grace is charis in the Greek. It means unearned, unmerited what? Favor of God. How many of you want some favor? How many have ever been shown favor? Man, I've been shown favor. I've been shown favor before. But the truth of the matter is, the best favor is God's favor. Man's favor is one thing, but God's favor is the best, man. If you're going to aim for somebody's favor, it's God's favor. Now, what's weird about God's favor is this, though. Some people think they can earn God's favor. Earn it. Other people believe that you receive it as a gift. I'm one of those guys. You receive it as a gift. Some people think you earn it. Matter of fact, last night, Saturday night service, had a pastor who's been coming here for quite a while, who has been taught all of his life that if he didn't do this and do this and do this and do this and keep the law and keep this and pray harder and do all these things, that he was then disqualified for the blessing of God on his life, and he was not able to receive all the goodness of God in his life. There's a lot of people that think like that. There's a lot of people that think that I've got to do something to get God's favor in my life. I'm here to tell you right now, the truth of the matter is, all you have to do is believe what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. By you believing on what he did 2,000 years ago, that qualifies you for the grace and favor of God in your life. It's that easy. It is that easy. And I'm going to spend the rest of this morning trying to convince you that you get God's favor through grace in faith, not through works that you have done. Because here's the deal. The law, and we talked about this the last couple of weeks, the law always says you're not good enough. Always not good enough. The more you try and observe the law, the more you're disqualified. But the more you live by faith and grace, the more you're qualified. Because faith and grace says Jesus died for what I need to receive. Aren't you glad about that? All right, so here we go. Let's check this out. Practical definition of grace is this. Practical, God's life, God's power, and God's righteousness coming to me as a what? Free gift, man. That's what grace is. Grace is God's righteousness, God's power, God's life coming to me freely. Why? Because I deserve it? No, but because Jesus died. How long ago? 2,000 years ago for it. Jesus died 2,000 years ago so that if I believe in what he did, God's grace and favor flows into my life. Say, is that all you got to do, Pastor Charlie? Absolutely. Absolutely. That's it. By believing in what he did, God's grace and favor flows into my life. Check this out. Romans 5:15. This was the last verse I shared with you last week. And it says this, but the free gift, everybody say the gift of righteousness. How many of you do not answer? If you answer, say righteous. If you answer, say righteous. If I ask a question, say righteous. All right. If I ask a question, say righteous. You ready? All right, here it is. Are you a sinner or are you righteous today? Righteous. Man, you got a good pastor, man. That's good. That's good. No, here's the truth. See, here's the truth. Each and every person in here has probably heard or thought, I'm a sinner. Now, let me say this. Before you get saved, you are. Absolutely. You are a sinner. You are in the classification of a sinner. But now, you've believed on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. At the point that you believed on what Jesus did as your Lord and Savior, you were translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, and you were once unrighteous, but now God declares you as a free gift. He calls you righteous. He calls you righteous. Let me show it to you in this way, in the Bible. But the free gift, the gift of righteousness, is not like the offense. Whose offense are we talking about here? Adam's. Everybody say Adam. Adam. How many of you know Adam jacked it all up for us? Y'all don't know that? We're not in a garden. Here's one. We're not naked. If you are, please leave. You're distracting everybody, praise God. Now, if you listen by way of the radio, as long as you're home by yourself, whatever. All right, let's move on. All right, but the free gift is not like the what? The offense. For it is by one man's offense many what? Many died. Much more the grace of God and the gift by grace of the one man who? Now, everybody look at this. One man made us unrighteous. Who was it? Adam. Adam jacked it up for us all. Here's the truth. One man came and died on the cross, paid the penalty of Adam's transgression, and now in him, he makes us all righteous. Listen to this. Adam made us unrighteous. Jesus makes us righteous. If you believe that Adam messed it up for us all, then you should believe to a greater level that Jesus fixed it all for us. No, but Pastor Charlie, I got to do something. I know Jesus died on the cross, but then I got to do something to please God or obey God. I got to keep the commandments. I got to keep the law. I got to do this. I got to worship on this way. I can't wear a cloth double. I got to obey the law. No, you don't. Why? You believe in him who fulfilled the law. How many of you know Jesus fulfilled the law? Yeah, he fulfilled it. So it's no longer you trying to keep the law. Jesus kept the law. So you believe that he kept the law. He died for your sins because he was perfect. Therefore, because you believe that, you are made righteous. You are made righteous. Every morning when you wake up, you should not look at yourself in the mirror and go, I'm a sinner. I'm a dirtbag. I'm a worm. You should look at yourself and go, God made me righteous. Therefore, no matter how I feel, I declare what God says about me over my life. I believe what God says about me. I believe what God says about me. Look, it goes on to say this. It says, How much, it says, and Jesus Christ abounded to many. Watch this. And the gift of what? Righteousness is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from the one offense resulted in what? The judgment that we are under before we get saved is the judgment of condemnation. Listen to this. Without Christ, you feel condemned. I mean, some of you need a refresher. Before you got saved, did anyone need to tell you you were jacking up? Did anyone need to tell you you were a sinner? And some of you are still looking at me partly cloudy. Anybody need to tell you what was up with all that? Some of you are struggling. How many of you know none were righteous? No, not one. Right? And listen, because we were born after Adam, listen to this, not because what we did, although we did, because Adam's nature is in us. But because we were born after Adam, we were born under condemnation. Can everybody get with that? Okay, now listen. Here's the shame of it. You ready? Talking to that pastor last night. He said, Pastor Charlie, I preached. I've been in this stuff 35 years. And here's the deal. All my life, I felt like I don't measure up to what God has. All my life, I feel like I got to keep working and sweating and toiling to please God. All my life, I felt like I got a divorce and it ruined me. I felt like I did this and it ruined me. I felt like I did this and it ruined me. And so in my mind, I felt like God has condemned me because I jacked everything up. Because he thought by the keeping of all these laws and rules, then by keeping all those, God would be happy with him. Only to find out, he can't keep them all. And he's under condemnation. To me, as a Christian, as a believer, you and I, there is one thing you should not live under, and that is condemnation. Jesus set you free from condemnation. Condemnation is a part of the fall of man. Jesus came to wipe out the transgression of Adam so that you could walk freely before God. Not because you're good, but because he's good to you. Not because you deserve it. It's called grace. It's called favor. Not that you earned it. He did it for you. Come on, amen? Amen. I hope you're grabbing it, man. I hope you're grabbing it. If not, listen to the CD. It's good. It's good. It's good. For if by one man's, the next verse, listen to this. The next verse says this. For if by one man's offense, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of abundance of grace. Everybody say, that's me. See, because I want that. I want that in my life. I want the abundance of grace. I want abundance of grace. I don't know about you, but I'm wired to where whatever God wants, I want that plus more. Whatever God has for me, I want that plus some. God, I believe you for more than enough. Praise God. Look at this. The abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one who? Jesus Christ. We will reign in life, rule and reign. We're not under condemnation. We're under the free gift of righteousness. Let me ask you a question. The answer is yes, I am. Are you righteous today? Yes, yes you are. Come on, everybody say, I am righteous. Is it because what you did? No, it's because what he did how long ago? 2,000 years ago on the cross. You have been made righteous because what you believe. Because what you believe. You're not righteous because you keep all the commandments. How many of you know, if you were here last week, you can't keep them all. The whole purpose of the law was to prove to you that you're not good enough. But once you have the idea that I'm not good enough, who are you supposed to then trust? Jesus on the cross, absolutely. All right, so listen to this. We said it this way this last week. Under the law, God what? Requires. This is why the law was, if you hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God, if you do this, if you do that, if you do this, if you do that, if you do that. See, the law always says God requires. Under grace, though, is awesome because it says what? God provides. God provides. Under the law, if you wanted to be healed, you had to go take animal sacrifice, take it to the priest. He had to examine the sacrifice. He had to go through all this stuff. Now, you may like the idea of sacrificing your neighbor's dog, but not yours. Here's the truth. They had to sacrifice animals, and not dogs, by the way. It was a little different. They had to sacrifice to get forgiven. We, under grace, Jesus, for example, if you wanted to be healed, you had to go and fulfill God's requirements to be healed. Under grace, God provided. What do? You believe that Jesus was hung on the cross, and that by his stripes you are healed. He was bruised for your iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed, Isaiah 53. We believe that, and because we believe that, our faith in that is accounted or made us righteous for his favor. Amen. How many of you know that's a whole lot easier? Yes. My goodness, thank God we're not under that. Amen. Thank God we're under grace and mercy, right? Now, check this out. I'm ready to start my message. All right. So now let's pick up. The law always condemns the best in us. In other words, you could do all the law, but if you missed one thing, you remember what Jesus said? He goes, you know, you can fulfill all this. Do you remember a couple weeks ago I used the example where the man come and said, hey, Jesus, I've fulfilled all the law. I've honored my mother and father. I've done this. I've done that. Jesus said, really, if you want to be whole, go and sell all that you got and give it to the poor. And the man walked away, because the truth of it is he had a God before God, and that was his stuff. Because what does the law do? The law always points out your one failure. You can meet all the standards, but the law always points out your failures. How many of you know we're not to live under the law? Right? And remember, the law is the mentality that I've got to work to get God's favor in my life. Or I've got to do something to gain forgiveness. I've got to do something to have salvation. I have to do something to be healed. I have to. Who is the focus of the law? Come on, say it again. Who is the focus of the law? I. Anytime you get I involved, you're going to be in a deficit. Anytime you get Jesus involved, he's more than enough. You believe that? I believe that. So the focus of our faith is who? Jesus, not us. Not us for sure. So now, let me talk about the history of grace real quick here. I want to show you something here. How many of you know that the Bible is typically broken down into two areas? What's it called? The Old and the New? Old and New Testament, right? Now, can I tell you this morning that even though that's accurate, it's not completely accurate. The best way to understand the Bible is to break the Bible into three parts. Three parts. Three. Everybody say three. Three. Here's what it is, okay? You have time period one where God, listen to this, God dealt with man through faith and grace. Listen to this. The second one was God dealing with mankind through the law. The third was, right now, resurrection till today, grace and faith. So now, let me break these down for you. Grace and faith. Adam and Eve sinned against God. God kicked them out of the garden because he didn't want them to eat of the tree of life. Otherwise, they would live forever in a sinful state. How many of you know that was grace? Yes. I mean, nobody knows that? God ran them out of the garden because he didn't want them to live forever in a sinful state. Could you imagine wicked and evil people living forever? We'd be in a mess. All right, now listen to this. Cain kills Abel. Did God kill Cain? No. What did he do? He told him to leave, stay away, and he said, I'm going to put a mark on you so that no one hurts you. Right? Was that law or was that grace? It was grace. And we could go throughout the entire Bible, or throughout the Old Testament in the beginning, before the law. This period of time covers from Genesis 1, really, all the way to Exodus 19. If you read the Bible during that time period, it's amazing what God put up with. Even from the children of Israel, The children of Israel, whenever they first came out of Egypt, you remember they grumbled and complained, and God didn't kill them. Yeah. You go back, how many of you know, ever heard of the guy named Abraham? Abraham was not, Abraham lied. He said his wife was his sister. Why? Because she was smoking hot. I didn't say it, it's what the Bible says. I've never even seen her. It's just what the Bible says. She was hot, and they were worried that Abraham, they'd kill Abraham to get to the girl. Right? It's like a soap opera. And little did we know, Abraham lied. Was God merciful to Abraham though? Absolutely. Watch this. I'm going to show you some things about Abraham. Abraham was before the law, and he found a way of being right in the eyes of God without keeping the law. And it was the way God initially wanted us all to live. Okay? And let me just say it this way. God wanted to rule our hearts through the relationship, not through rules. Through relationship, not through rules. Let me show you that in the instance of Abraham himself. Check this out. Abraham, look at this. Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of thy country and away from your family and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. All right? Look at this. I will. Look at it. I will. Listen to it. I will. Who's going to do it? God is. God says, I will. Who's going to do it? God is. He said, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who what? Bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be what? Blessed. Now listen. Abraham can either have a law mentality or he can have a faith and grace mentality. A law mentality would be this. Okay, Lord, what do I need to do to earn this? That's a law mentality, right? That's what a law mentality. A grace mentality says, I believe you. I believe you. Which one is Abraham? Look at the next. This is 15, Genesis 15, 5 says this. And then he brought him outside and he said, look towards the heaven and count the stars and see if they're able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. Now watch. And he did what? Believed. He believed. He did what? Believed. He believed God, and it was accounted unto him for? Listen, you can be right in the eyes of God through works, or you can be right in the eyes of God through grace. Grace is, I believe him. 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 See, I got to work to please God, or I believe God. I believe God made me righteous. I believe Jesus died on the cross. I believe that Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice so that I could have favor. I believe Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice so I could be healed. I believe Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice so I could be prosperous. I believe Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice so that I could receive the free gift and favor of God in my life. You can either live that way or you can live why. Well, you know, I got to do something to get God's favor. Let me tell you, God has a problem with those who think they can work themselves to please him. He has a problem with it. Because there's only one man who could do the works on the earth to please him, and that was his perfect son, who he sent to the cross, paid for our sins so that we could have the free favor of God in our lives without doing anything, simply by believing God. Isn't that awesome? Everybody's like, I don't know, I don't know. Man, I believe it, and I'm thrilled to be about it, for sure. Look at this. Romans 3, verse 4 says this about Abraham. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him as what? Now, to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as a debt. You think you're going to work? You think something you can do to make you right in the eyes of God is going to be good enough? Bible says you're in debt. You have a debt that you can't pay. Why? It forces everyone to focus on Jesus for the fulfillment of grace and mercy in their life. Isn't that good? It's grace and mercy in favor of God. It's all that God did. Look at this. This is Romans chapter 4. And again, talking about Abraham. It says, for it is written, I have made you a father of what? Many nations. And in the presence of him who believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls things that do not exist as though they did. Now watch this. Pretty powerful. Who contrary to hope, in hope, he did what? Now, y'all don't get it like I got it. Or maybe you get it like I got it and you just don't get it. But here's the way I get it and the way I got it. Abraham is 100 years old, y'all. And God says, you're going to be the father of many nations. Abraham looked around and went, really? Watch what he does. So he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants. God said, you're going to be the father of many nations. He said, I believe it. I believe it. Watch this. Goes on. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead. Now imagine that. Not, I don't know if you, I crack up when I read the Bible sometimes. I really do. Because the Bible's saying, Abraham looked around at himself and he goes, shoo, we dead. We dead. Now see, some of you ain't putting it in our vernacular, but there was no blue pill, no Cialis, no two bathtubs in the commercial. There's none of that, y'all. If that stuff's so great, why is there two bathtubs in the commercial? You ever notice that? There are two people sitting, if last more than 4 hours, call. Why are you calling them? Okay, anyway, some of you go get it later. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. He was dead, dried up, done. Since he was about 100 years old, how many of you can bear witness to that? Look at this, and this cracks me up too. And the deadness of Sarah's womb, which is hilarious, because I dare you to talk like that to your wife. Hey, baby, we old. It's dead. Everything's dead. It cracks me up the way the Bible says things. And the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now watch this. I want you to understand, and really, and I don't want to be vulgar, crazy, or nutty. I just want you to see, well, maybe a little bit. But I want you to see, Abraham looked at him himself and says, whoa, we're dead. And he looked at Sarah and goes, wow, you're dead too. We both dead. We're dead. But God said, we're going to be the father of many nations. Now he has a choice. He can look at his natural situation and circumstance and go, funny one, God. We dead. We ain't having that. Now, if I'm 100 years old, I would tell God, no, not me. Pick the next guy. All right, first of all. But he didn't. What did the Bible say? Abraham considered not his body, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. Watch what he says. Look at it. He goes this. And he did not waver at the promise of God through what? Unbelief, but was strengthened in faith. Giving glory to God, watch this, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, what God had promised, that he was able to. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Abraham believed, it was accounted as righteousness, and God fulfilled the promise in spite of Abraham's body and Sarah's dead womb. Did Abraham get it by works that he did or by faith in God? Grace, grace, grace. You can get the things of God that God has for your life. You can be saved. You can do all those things by works. No, you'll never make it. Or by believing what God did 2,000 years ago and receiving it by that. Come on, amen? See, it's freeing to live by grace and faith. It's freeing. It's freeing. I don't wake up every morning going, oh my goodness, I hope I can please God today. I wake up every morning going, I have pleased God because I believe on His Son. And because I believe on His Son, I am righteous in the eyes of God. And today I'm going to walk in His righteousness. I'm going to believe in His righteousness. I'm going to believe for the free favor of God to flow in my life. And I'm going to see God do big things every day of my life. Come on, that's how I believe. I believe that. I believe that. See, some of you have it backwards. Some of you are performance Christianity. You believe that if I go out and I do a good job, then God's favor will be on my life. Or if I pray harder, I do that. Again, I'm not against praying. I'm not against fasting. I'm not against those things. But listen, if you think you can do those things and gain God's favor, you're wrong. That's works, and works will always put you short of God's best. Come on, amen? My goodness, I love this stuff. And you want to hear the crazy part about this message? This is only half of what I have. I'm not kidding. Next week, I'm going to talk, we'll talk about it in a minute. And therefore, it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone, but that it was imputed to him. In other words, it isn't just for him that it was accounted righteousness. Get this. This is so powerful. But also for... Everybody say, that's me. That's me. It's telling you how to live before God. You should live with a grace mentality. You should live with, if God said it, I believe it, therefore it is in my life. If God says I'm righteous, I'm righteous. If God says I'm blessed, I'm blessed. Well, Pastor Charlie, I don't feel like it. I bet you Abraham didn't feel like he was the father of many nations, dead at 100 years old in the deadness of Sarah's womb. But he believed it. And when he believed it, it was accounted righteousness, and then favor could flow into his life. Oh, my goodness, this is good. It says, and it shall be imputed to us who what? Believe in him who was raised, Jesus Christ, from the what? Dead. From the dead, absolutely. Look at Galatians 3, says this. And if you are Christ, how many of you are saved today? All right, we ought to do the altar call, because that's like over 75% or not. How many of you are saved today? All right, we're doing better. We're doing. If you're saved, if you're born again, here's what the Bible says. Then you are Abraham's seed. You're not the law's seed. You're Abraham's seed. You're to function and act and believe like Abraham did, right? You're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Absolutely. See, get this. Whenever it comes to this, it is so important that you understand God. With Abraham, he operated through grace and faith. It wasn't till the law came that God didn't operate through grace and faith. And I know what you're thinking. And I know if you're like me, I thought this. Whenever I first started studying this out, I was like, why did God not just keep the faith and grace thing going? Let me tell you why. A couple things. Well, I'll show you on a slide and then I'll explain it. All right, check this out. The lack of God's punishment was misunderstood as approval and acceptance of sin. The lack of God's punishment. Yeah, it's for real. See, get this. God was so patient and so merciful. God would allow people just to run amok. And he was patient and long-suffering in it. And he is still today. Because here's the truth. Well, think about it. Under the law, you remember, after the law came, Moses... They grumbled against him. The first day the law came, they grumbled against Moses. The earth swallowed them up. How many of you know they got the picture? Shut your mouth. They got a revelation real quick that you can't grumble and gripe against God or God's people and expect God's blessing to flow in your life. It was the law, right? Right? They did that 5 days previous. They complained against Moses, but the earth didn't swallow them up. Why? There was no law. No law in place. And because there was no law, they thought they could just act any way they wanted to. How many of you know whenever God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah? Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. Don't listen to sexual immorality. That's what the Bible teaches. Because the sexual immorality of Sodom and Gomorrah, God came and said, I'm going to destroy it. And you remember what Abraham said. But if there's 90 righteous, would you save it? Of course. He gets him all the way down to 10, going by 10s. If there's 20 righteous, would you save it? God said, yes. If there was 10 righteous, would you save it? He said, yes. He said, well, the next one is zero. If there's zero, there's no reason to save it. God, out of his mercy, didn't destroy it before he told Abraham, go and get your family out of there. See? Because get this, what happened is sin was getting so bad that God had to put a point and say, no, you can't live that way. See, because they were under faith and grace, so they thought they could live any way they want to. Can I tell you, even in our culture today, we are under the grace and mercy of God right now, right? We're not under the law. We're not under that law. And because we're not under the law, the judgment of God doesn't fall on people immediately. So people think that, well, God just is all right with it. Can I tell you, God is not all right with it? Yeah? He sent his son to the cross to deal with the power of sin, and he destroyed it on the cross. Come on, y'all hearing what I'm saying? So that is why the law came. The law came so that people would become aware of sin, and it would point to the Savior. It was, listen to me, this is so powerful. It was not given to us to make us righteous in the eyes of God. I'm going to keep all the commandments, and therefore I'm right in the eyes of God. No, you can't measure up. You can't do it. There's only one man who ever fulfilled all the law, and that's his name was Jesus, right? And because he was sinless, he went to the cross to die a sinner's death so that we could be released from our sins. And so now when we believe on what he did, his grace flows into our lives, not because we fulfilled it, but because we believe in the one who did. Man, that's so good, huh? It should free you. It should free you. Should free you. See, check this out. Listen to this. Listen. Okay, now we've heard Abraham. You remember Abraham? God said, I'm going to bless you. And Abraham said what? I believe, right? Rock on with your bad self, right? Listen to this. God shows up to the children of Israel, tells them he wants them to be kings and priests unto him. And they say this. And then all the people answered together and they said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. What are they saying? Come on. Somebody said it. I heard it. I. Everything that the Lord has spoken, we will do. We are good enough. We can measure up. We can make it. We can do it. We can fulfill it. We don't need a Savior. We don't need anybody. We can fulfill it. How many of you know they couldn't? They couldn't. And this, I tell you the cracked up thing about this verse is given, they said we can do it before God tells them the requirements. Talk about making a dumb deal. They're like, we don't know what God's idea is, but hey, whatever it is, just bring it on. We can do it. I would have kicked him in the shin. Shut your mouth. Let's wait to see what God says first. Truthfully, what they should have said is they should have said this, God, we can't do it. That's what they should have said. They should have did like Abraham. You came to make us priests and kings, God. We believe that you will. You have the power to do it. We don't have the power to do it in and of ourselves. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? It's so different. It's such a different mentality. Lost connection. That must mean I'm almost done. Good night. Okay, I'm almost back. Hold on. Yes, save connection. I saved you earlier. I don't know what your problem is. Okay, I'm back. Here we go. So now, check this out. Let me show you. Okay, now, we're talking about grace. Okay, look at this. Grace and faith, patriarchs. We see Abraham, and I can show you many others. How many know Abraham, Isaac was under this? Jacob. How many know Jacob was a deceiver? How many know God blessed him, though? Yeah, he did. He did. Look at this. Justice and wrath for 1,500 years. Jesus put an end to that and brought faith and grace. How? Through the new covenant. Everybody say new covenant. The new covenant. The new covenant which Jesus paid for. He fulfilled the law. He fulfilled the commandments. He fulfilled everything. Died on a cross. Died a sinner's death. So that when we believe on him, then we're made righteous. Does everybody get that? Okay, so now, have you ever read the new covenant or part of it. I'm going to read part of it today. Next Sunday, I'm going to talk about it in detail and we'll be done with the law stuff and I'll be happy, 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 happy. All right. Look at this. This is Roman or Hebrews chapter 8. If you're reading anything this week and you want to read New Testament, how God feels about you today, read Hebrews chapter 8. Here's what it says. For the first covenant, this is the law, okay, for the law, had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Did you know that the Bible says that the first law had a fault? But let me ask you this. Was the law the problem? No, what was the problem? The people trying to keep it. Tell a little kid, don't do that. Guess what they do? That. That's the law. God says, don't. They did. The problem was not the command. The problem was the people. Absolutely. So now God has a better way. Watch this. Because finding fault with them, notice not the law, with them, He says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Watch this. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by their hand and led them out of the land of Egypt. Now, we know it's talking about the law, right? Ten Commandments and all those. It says, because they did not continue in my... Notice the fault. The fault is not the law. The fault is them. They didn't continue in my covenant. And I disregarded them, says the Lord. Why did God disregard them? He had to. They thought they could earn God's favor in their life. And because they were trying to do it by works, they could never measure up. God says, you've disqualified yourself because you've tried to do it by works. Why? The only way is by faith in what my son does. Right? Okay, look at this. For this is the covenant I will make in the house of Israel and after those days. Everybody say that's now. It's now, says the Lord. I will put my laws in there and write them on their. Listen to this. God says, I will write my laws on their hearts and on their minds. How do you think he does that? Well, when you are saved, when you ask Jesus Christ to become the Lord and Savior of your life, the Holy Spirit comes and lives on the inside of you. When the Holy Spirit comes and lives on the inside of you, he writes the laws of God on your heart and on your mind. Okay? So now watch. Watch this. So now I have the law of God in my heart and in my mind, and the Holy Spirit empowering me to live out the law of God and the commandments of God and the things of God, because he's empowering me. It's not self-empowered, it's Holy Spirit-powered. Man, I hope you understand the difference. See, watch this, everybody look at me. Let me step out of my message for a second and then I'll step back into it. No one's saying we should live like the devil and expect to be saved and love God. Nobody's saying that. I'm saying you should live like you're a believer. The question is, how do you get there? Do you get there by keeping the law? Or do you get there by having the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, writing his laws on your heart and in your mind, and watch this, and you obeying the Holy Spirit as he leads you and guides you in life instead of obeying the law? Obeying the law is self-effort. Obeying the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit's effort. Which one you want to live by? I want to live with the Holy Spirit leading and guiding me because I know that I'm going to live by faith and I'm going to live under grace and mercy of God. Man, that's so good. I hope you all learn. I know sometimes not everybody says amen and all that, and you don't have to, but man, I hope you're getting it. I hope you're grasping it, that you're not saved by your works. You're saved in what Christ did in him alone. Him alone. On Christ alone. You ever heard that song? Man, listen to that song in light of what I'm teaching. It's Christ alone. Not Christ and then my good works. No, you'll jack it up. I've told you, like last week, I think I had mentioned this. You'll lay in bed and be like, okay, today I'm not gonna fight with my wife. I know yesterday was bad. We're not gonna fight. I'm not even got my feet on the floor yet. We're not gonna fight. Everything's gonna be good. I'm gonna love her to the best of my ability. I'm a lover. You get in the bathroom, here she comes, jacking up the toothpaste, tearing up the toothbrush. You're like, ah, woman, what are you doing? And she's like, oh, I wasn't supposed to do that. I wanna choke her. I don't know what's wrong with me. I sat in the bed. Why'd she do this? It's works where it's like, Lord, help me love my wife. You believe he is the answer to everything. Come on, y'all hearing what I'm saying? It'll free you. And I'm not saying we fight over the toothpaste. Well, sometimes. But anyway, I will put their minds and write them on their hearts, and I will be their what? God, and they shall be my what? People, none of them shall teach his neighbor. And again, it's not saying that we don't need teachers. It's just saying you don't need a mediator between you and God. You can go to God directly. Amen? None of them is brother saying, know the Lord, for you shall know me, for the least of these to the greatest of them. Look at this. For I will be merciful to their what? Unrighteousness. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. Here's the best part. And their sins and their lawless deeds, I will remember no. Are you righteous today? Yeah. And you know what God says about you walking in righteousness with God? That your sins and your lawless deeds, he chooses to remember no more. You say, well, Pastor Charlie, that's just from when I got saved. No, it isn't. That's daily. Daily, he chooses to forgive me of all my sins and wash me and cleanse me. Well, Pastor Charlie, don't I have to confess it? You'll have to come back next week for me to talk about that. Here's the truth. He said, I didn't say it, he said it. Their sins and their lawless deeds, he remembers no more. It doesn't say he didn't see them, he saw it. He didn't say that that it's a blank check so you can go and sin. No, he didn't say that. He says he chooses, God chooses. Your sins and your lawless deeds, he wipes them out. You're free from your sins. Pastor Charlie, it can't be that simple. It is that simple. Religion has a hard time believing it, but the Bible says it very clear. That your sins and your lawless deeds, he remembers no more. Say, but Pastor Charlie, what if I sin tomorrow? Your sins and your lawless deeds, he remembers no more. What if I sin 2 weeks from now? Your sins and your lawless deeds, he remembers no more. Your sins and your lawless deeds, he remembers no more. Your sins and your lawless deeds, he remembers no more. Oh, Pastor Charlie, if you keep telling people their sins are forgiven, they will just want to go out and sin. Really? Show me the person. I've never met a person that I've told them, hey, God has wiped away your sins. Your sins are forgiven. No matter what you've done, God has wiped it away. You are free and clear. God loves you that much. It's by grace and faith in what Jesus did. I've never had someone look at me in the eye and go, wow, awesome. Let's go sin. I've had people say this, wow, really? You mean that divorce I did 25 years ago, God's not still mad at me at that, about that? No, your sins and your lawless deeds, he will remember no more. Not that the sin was good. I'm just saying it was hung on a cross 2,000 years ago, and God is not holding you accountable for that. He says your sins and your lawless deeds, he will remember no more. He chooses to wipe the slate clean each and every day of your life. Oh, it can't be that good. It is that good. It is that good. Every day it's that good. I'm almost done. Listen to this. He said this. And then he says, a new covenant I have made, the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete is grown old and has already vanished what? Away. He wiped it away. He wiped the law away. Now you're under grace and mercy. Now you're under this idea that God died on the cross. Jesus died so that you could be free from all of your sin and you could walk righteously before the Lord, have a relationship with him, and grow in that relationship each and every day. So that you would, watch this, you would no longer be tied or yoked to your sin. You would be tied and yoked to God's righteousness. And by believing and knowing you've been made righteous, it doesn't make you want to go sin. By knowing you're righteous, it makes you want to live for God all the more because you've been declared righteous. You want to live up to the expectation that God has that you're going to live right for him. That's what it does. How many of you believe that? All right, everybody say this. I am righteous. I am righteous, not because what I've done, but because what Jesus did. I'm forgiven. I walk in forgiveness. I thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name, everybody says, amen. Give the Lord a clap. Praise God. I'm done.